So the title of this year is I Have No Idea. I asked Rav Tereski to come up for one of me, and he's much better at that stuff, and Baruch Hashem he did. I think it's 8 nights, which last a year? Okay, good. So let's hopefully connect that. Let's connect whatever we're talking about to the title, and that will be somewhat significant. The first source on the sheet is something which I'm sure we're somewhat familiar with. It's not so long ago. It's in Parshas Vayetze. And we remember the story, the famous story. Yaakov is finally fleeing from Laban's household. And he's fleeing from Esav on his way to Laban. He's got two tasks in mind. He needs to, A, save himself from Esav. Esav really wants to kill him. We can't have that happen, otherwise there goes the end of Bereishis. And he also needs to find himself a wife. You know, he tries and he comes out with four. Good for him. But that's really what he needs to do. So he's on his way to Aram Naharaim, to Laban's house. And he stops. Where does he end up stopping? Through destiny, through fate, the Mefarshim talk about this. He ends up in, very unclear where he actually is, Luz, Beidel, the Makom Mikdash. Different Midrashim say different things. It's not so clear in the Pesukim. The point that we want to focus on, obviously, is what happens there. He ends up going to sleep. And he has a dream, and there's this famous dream. And what happens on the dream? We know that there's this ladder, right? The ladder is in the ground, and Hashem is standing on top of the ladder. And we see the Malachim going up and down the ladder. And then finally Hashem speaks to him. What does Hashem say? Hashem says, okay, there we go. Vine Hashem Nitzavala Vayomar, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomar Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Velokei Yitzchak Haaretz Asher Ata Shochev Alecha Lechat Netel Lazarecha. I'm going to give you this land. This land, Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get it. Hashem gives him this bracha, the bracha of Avraham Avinu, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him and take over Eretz Yisrael, and that's exactly the bracha that he receives. Yaakov, we know, he wakes up, he says, oh my goodness, I didn't really know that this place was so holy. He gets nervous about the fact that he slept in such a holy place. And Yaakov, at the end of this entire discussion, in the end of this entire parsha, he makes a neder. Look in Pasuk Chaf. It's an incredible neder. If you never took 2 minutes to think about what the neder was, you'd be shocked. What does he say about Yidor Yaakov neder anymore? Yaakov makes the following neder. He makes a promise, a vow. Im yelo kimi madi. If Hashem is going to be with me, v'shamrani baderech hazeh, and he's going to guard me on this path, asher nochi holeich, where I'm walking, and he's going to give me food to eat, clothing to wear, then Hashem will be for me a king. If God takes care of me, I can go to Laban's household, I'm going to be good, I'll get some food on the way, things will be fine, I'll come back, then Hashem will be my God. Only then? What about before? This is Yaakov Avinu? This sounds like when you're talking to that the person struggling with their religion, and they say, well, if God will only show himself to me, so then I'll start doing the mitzvahs. This is Yaakov Avinu? I'll give tzedakah. I'll give tzedakah if Hashem takes care of me. He scratches my back, I'll scratch his back. Does this sound like a normal test, a normal way in order to determine whether Hashem should be his God or not? So, let's leave that aside for now. Hopefully, what I want to do is talk about a little bit of Hanukkah, and by hopefully developing some ideas about Hanukkah, we'll be able to come back to this nether of Yaakov, you know, and understand it in a different light, as well as, what is the symbolism of the dream? Have you ever asked yourself that? Like, why are the malachim going up and going down? Anybody know what Rashi says? I'm sure some of us are familiar. We grew up with that. Are there different malachim for different places, right? Rashi says that there's a medrash, that there's certain malachim for Eretz Yisrael, and there's certain malachim for Chutz La'aretz. So the malachim for Eretz Yisrael, we're leaving, the malachim for Chutz La'aretz are going on. That's a medrash, but what exactly is the message should we be taking out of this entire lesson? Okay, so let's come back to that hopefully at the end. What I want to discuss with you is obviously Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah is, you know, very, very soon. As again, she just bought like some serious, you know, Hanukkah stuff over here. Are you guys ready here? Are there?
I'm there.
Wow, amazing. Awesome. Okay. So Hanukkah is very, very close, and there's a big question that one needs to ask themselves when it comes to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is one of our favorite holidays, and it's in the middle of the winter. Things are dark and, you know, relatively cold, I guess. You know, it's not so cold, but whatever.
Not
exactly. Colder than it used to be. Colder than it used to be. And therefore, here's like a little bit of light, pun intended, that we have the opportunity to go ahead and experience something very beautiful on Hanukkah. But why do we have Hanukkah? You ask different people, they give you different answers. So there's really two approaches to why we have Hanukkah. One of them, anybody know? Why do we celebrate Hanukkah? Because of the?
Nace.
The Nace of. Good, I was looking for Nace. Which one? Either because of the Nace. Exactly, there's two options. We have the Nace of the oil, the Nace of the Pach Shemen, as the way it was called, the way that the Mefarshim speak about it, that we know that the Kohen Gadol had one Pach Shemen that was not defiled. After they won the war, they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they're looking to light the menorah, they can't find anything. Finally, one jug, one Pach Shemen, they're able to light. It takes 8 days in order to produce a new olive oil, lasts for 8 days, everybody goes home happy, let's have a celebration forever and ever, right? That's one approach to Hanukkah. However, there's another approach to Hanukkah, and that is, because we won the war, right? We won the war. We were the mighty Greek army. This is the after effect of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great's about, like, I don't know, 150, 200 years prior to the Hanukkah story, that after they conquer this entire area and region, and the Greek army is mighty, and all of a sudden they have Eretz Yisrael as a vassal state of some sort, and we go to war in order to gain our autonomy, in order that we don't need to assimilate, in order that we can be dedicated to Torah and mitzvot, and we win the war despite the fact that it doesn't seem likely that we're able to do so. So, what do you think is a more plausible reason why we have a holiday? What do you think is more necessary? Obviously. The war. If we don't win the war, there's nobody there to light the candles. We're all dead. Yes? Okay, so we need the war in order to be able to light the candles. I think that's obvious, yes? And we can see that also if you flip your sheet to the one that's not connected, I think it's not connected. You see that in Alan Isim. In Alan Isim, it's amazing, right? This is what we say in davening, we say in benching, Alan Isim, Ricardo Bazon, that there is no mention of the nace of the candles. It says that we lit candles, it doesn't say how long it lasted for. If you look at it, B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Chashonai Banav, Kishamda Machus Yavan Rasha Alamcha, Yisrael Ashkicham Teresecha. He wanted that, the Yavanim wanted us to forget the Torah. V'lavir Michuke Yotonecha. V'atav Rechamecha Rabim, Hashem, with all your mercy, Amatan Lebe Sarasam, you helped us when we were in Tsar, Raptis, Rivam, Dantis, Dinam, Nakatan, Nikmasam, Asarta, Gibirmi, Achalashim, Rabbi, Amratim, etc. You gave over the strong in the hands of the weak, the Tmeim, Yatahorim, those who were tummy in the hands of those who were pure, etc. And it goes on to say, but there's no mention. You can look at yourself, you know, don't trust me, or you can, whatever you want. There is no mention whatsoever of the Nes Pach Shemen. Okay, good. So I think that kind of makes sense to us. We can understand why it's like that. However, if you look in the Gemara, source number two, Gemara source number two says, My Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? What does it mean with Hanukkah? So Rashi, I didn't put it on the sheet, but Rashi says, on which nace, which miracle that took place, did Chazal decide to establish it's worthwhile on Hanukkah? Which one was it? We have two options, obviously, right? So you would assume that he should say the nace of winning the war. That's not what he says. What does he say? Or the Gemara, rather. The Tanur Rabbanan. What does he say? B'chafi b'kislev, yimei Chanukah timna inun. There are 8 days of Chanukah on the 25th of Kislev. D'lo l'misi b'hun. You cannot fast on those days. D'lo l'sadun b'hun. And you're not allowed to fast. You're not allowed to give eulogies. Sh'kishenichnasi yavanim l'heichal timukol ashmanim sh'beheichal. That when the Yavanim came, they defiled all the oil. Ukishagavru machas bizchashmanai vinitzchem. When the chashmanim finally were able to beat them, what happened? Batkevulomatu alapach echad shal shemen sheyamunach bechosama shal kohen gadol. And it had the seal of the kohen gadol. This one pach shemen, this one oil that was not defiled. Vulo ayaba el hadagilmecha. There was only enough oil for one day. What ends up happening? Nasabo nes, there was a huge nes. V'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim. And for 8 days, we were able to light those candles. The shana acheres, and afterwards, what did they do? Kavim v'asim yamim tovim b'halavodah. They made a yantif of halavodah. So what is absent from this account of why we celebrate Hanukkah? The nes of the war. Completely. Right? There's no mention of it. So this Gemara is quite difficult and perplexing. Number one, I think, like we all agree, that winning the war is much more important. Much more important. More than that, was it even necessary to light the oil with the pure olive oil that they found? Anybody know? It's a very interesting halacha about this. So, there's a halacha called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. Okay, it's an abstract halacha, but basically what it means is as follows. If the entire Jewish people are Tamei, then it doesn't matter whether you perform an avoda, a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, in a state of Tuma. If the entire nation is Tamei, so then we say, you know what, because the entire nation is Tamei, we'll forget about this, you know, mitzvah or this idea that we should be tar when we light the candles or when we do anything in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a big discussion, actually, at one point. They wanted to start bringing Korban Pesachs, even without the Beis HaMikdash. One of the issues that they encountered was the fact that we're still Tamei. We don't have the Parah Aduma. And therefore, one of the discussions that ensued was, because we're all Tamei, can we say Tuma Hutra B'tzibur? Can we invoke this idea? And therefore, it won't be a problem. Okay, so it wasn't even necessary. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, it wasn't such a big deal. We didn't need it. We could have lit with not pure olive oil. So why was it even... We're establishing a holiday, seemingly according to the Gemara, on something that wasn't even necessary. A, because the Melchama was much more important. And number two, they didn't even need to find that pure olive oil. They could have lived without it. They didn't even... It wasn't necessary on any level whatsoever. So what I want to do with you guys is explore two different ideas, two different approaches. One by Ruchaim Shulavitz, and one by one of my Rebbeim, Reb Rosenzweig. Let's start with the one from Ruchaim Shulavitz. Ruchaim Shulavitz, in his Sefer, Sichos Maser, has a very, very beautiful piece. I think it's called Neis Lehid Na'is, if I'm not mistaken, but you could look it up inside if any of you have the Sefer. And what he explains is something which is very, very powerful. Ruchaim Shulavitz says, yes, it is true. It is true that the nace of the Muhammad was much more important and much more vital for our survival. And clearly that should be the real reason why we have a holiday. However, the holiday has been taken over by this nace of the Pach Shemen. It's true. So much of, I mean, we even know that. How do we celebrate it? How do we celebrate Purim? Purim is the day when we won a war. How do we celebrate Purim, anybody? We have a holiday, we eat, we have a meal, we give shalach manos. Is there a mitzvah to have a meal on Hanukkah? No, there's no mitzvah to have a meal on Hanukkah. Yes, we all love the sukkah, for sure, for sure. But in terms of there actually being a mitzvah from Chazal, not so much. So the whole holiday has been taken over by this idea of the Neis Pach Shemen. Why? Why is it necessary? So Ruchaim Shulavitz explains it beautifully. He says, because there's something fundamentally different between both these nisim that we said before. And we thought it was a question, but for him, that's actually the answer. What do I mean? We said that the nis of the milchama, the fact that we won the war, that was so improbable, was something that we needed, because without it, we couldn't have survived. And we pointed out that the nis of Pach Shemen wasn't necessary at all. They could have survived without it. Says Ruchaim Shulavitz, the reason why we focus so much on the nis of the Pach Shemen is because that is the miracle that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did these miracles for us, not just because He needed to, but because He wanted to. Meaning, God made a promise to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that we were going to be wiped out. It's not going to happen. The Jews are going to live forever. That's the deal. Right, Mark Twain, the quote, right, about if you want to believe in God, that the Jews have been wandering from etc., etc., and therefore you can believe in God because the Jews still survive, wandering for 2,000 years on a homeland. We still have our identity, Baruch Hashem. We're always going to be here because that's the deal we made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to make sure of that. No matter if we go through a Holocaust, we go through a pogrom, we go through anything, we are going to be here. So God needs to save us. That's part of the deal. That's a contract we signed. But God doesn't necessarily have to want to save us, right? He might have to do it because he's contractually obligated to do so. But what shows that he wants to? What shows that he loves us? Ruchaim Shulavitz tells over a beautiful story, a mashal, in order to demonstrate this. He said, imagine there was a family who lost a very, very important family heirloom. I don't know, they had this massive diamond. Okay? And they're searching all over for the diamond because the diamond has been passed down from generation to generation. And all the pension funds are connected to the diamond. I don't even know how that works. But whatever the case may be, the diamond is their ticket to go ahead and enjoy everything. And they lose the diamond. The whole family's going crazy. They're looking, where's the diamond? Where's the diamond? The father family sends out all the children. I want you to trace back your steps over there, and I want you to go check in the town square. And I want you to go check by the butcher shop. And I want you to go check by the dry cleaning. Check all over the place, see if you could find the diamond that we lost. And everybody's going crazy. And then finally what ends up happening? The little 4-year-old boy happens to be playing outside in the backyard, and he's by the swings, and all of a sudden he sees something very, very shiny on the floor, and he knows everybody's going crazy, like they're looking for something shining like a diamond. And he bends down and picks it up, and he says, I think I found something, this is important. So he goes over and he gives it to his family. And they all go crazy, they're all so happy. They make a tremendous, tremendous party. And at that party, as they're celebrating, the father bends down and gives his son a kiss, saying, thank you so much for, you know, finding the diamond. Now, what was objectively more valuable for the 4-year-old? Objectively, what was more important for his future? Obviously, the diamond, right? That's how he's going to college. But what subjectively was more important? The kiss and affection and love that his father showed him. That was infinitely more important in terms of his own relationship, standing and feeling with his father. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's the nes of the Pach Shemen. That is the kiss, the neshika yisera, as he calls it. The extra kiss that Hashem gives every single one of us. He said, not only did I save you because I had to, but I'm going to show you I did it because I love you. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I feel close to you. Because I appreciate the sacrifices that you made. That you stood up when the Yevanim tried to attack you for your own religiosity. So this is my special kiss which I'm going to give you. And that's why we focus on that. Because it makes us feel good. Because that highlights the special, unique relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we focus so much on it. He gives beautiful examples of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a slight neshika yisera. I'll just mention a couple of them. You know what I'm talking about?
Right?
Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. Excellent. Yeah.
And something with the cart had spices.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes. Rashi says in this week's Parsha, the Yishmaelim who took Yosef down, or the Midianim, whatever. It gets a bit confusing. Who took who down at what point? But the Yishmaelim were carrying beautiful, nice smelling spices.
And he says about Moshe also, when Hashem showed Moshe Eretz Yisrael, he made it that he saw everything at once. And
so we didn't have to turn around. Excellent. Fantastic. That's another example that the Yishmaelim were taking down these good smelling spices, even though that wasn't what they were accustomed to do. Why? Hashem says, because when Yosef is going down, he should know at least that I'm with him. That there's Hashem Hashkacha Pratis there. When David kills Goliath, right? When David kills Goliath, what happens? The Medrash says Goliath was so big that he fell directly by David HaMelech. So when he went to go chop off his head, he didn't have to go so far. He didn't have to walk this whole length of his body. I have a question for you. What's more important? That, you know, David killed Goliath in general and, like, you know, got to marry Michal? Or the fact that his head landed right by him so he could just chop it off easily? Obviously, the fact that he killed him. But says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that was the neshika yisera to David HaMelech. He didn't just do it because he needed to, because he loved us. And that's one perspective by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explaining why we focus so much on the Neis Pach Shemen. Because it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu's neshika yisera that we're able to experience, that we're able to have with us. So that's approach number one. Approach number two is that, found an article that, like I said, my Rebbe wrote, Maron Zweig. And it really focuses on what we've asked so far. Why are we focusing so much on this element of the holiday? When, number one, as we said, the Melchama was more important. And number two, the fact that it wasn't even necessary. We could have lit tummy oil if we really needed to. And he adds another element to this. It's very interesting. Do you know how one, the minimal obligation to fulfill the mitzvah of the Erev Chanukah? What is it? Everybody know. They're stuck.
One
candle. One candle, right? One candle per house, you're good to go. And then there's a level called Mahadran. You know what the level of Mahadran is? Mahadran is that, what do you do? That you light one candle corresponding to every single person in the house. So it's the first night of the four people in the apartment. Three people in this apartment, yes?
Four
people in the apartment, okay. Four people in the apartment. So what do they do? On the first night, they light four candles. On the next night, they light four candles. And then afterwards, they're going to light four candles to catch up for all 8 nights. That would be a Mahadran household. You know what I mean? But over here, but what, then there's something else called Mahadran Mina Mahadran. The greatest that you can do, and that's what we all do, that we light one candle corresponding to every single night. So on the first night one, second night two, etc. Going up till we get to the eighth night, we're all lighting eight candles. Fascinating, fascinating halakha. This is all found in the Gemara. You know what the Shulchan Aruch quotes? Only one of them. Which one? The one that we all do. Mahadran Mina Mahadran. He doesn't quote the halakha of one candle. It's called Ner Ish Ubesam. He doesn't quote it at all. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it for us. If you ask yourself the following question, why is this the only mitzvah, maybe in the entire Torah, that every single Jew who fulfills it does it Mahadran Mina Mahadran? Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought that before? You always get the questions, you know, in the Shalom for Women, you know, is Mahadran, what's the status of Mehuderet, is it Rabbanut, is it not? We get into all these discussions about, you know, different levels of kashrus over here, like everybody's doing like Badati de Charedis, you know what I mean? That's what everybody's doing over here. Why? It's not true when it comes to, I don't know, Lulav and Esrog, right? So they're different. There's the Sug Aleph. There's Mehuder Aleph, and everybody, according to their means and what they're able to afford, etc., and what they think is necessary for them, that's how they fulfill those mitzvahs. But over here, we're all doing Mahadran and Mahadran. But why? How did that even happen? So, in order to understand this, we need to think about what was the motivation for the Chashmonaim to go to war in the first place. Think about it. The Yavanim came along and said, you know what? We don't really have a problem with you Jews. You seem like, you know, good people. All I want you to do is like chill out with this whole religious stuff, you know? Take it down a notch. So we're going to help you out with that. We're going to get rid of some of your mitzvahs. You know, Shabbos you really shouldn't do anymore. Mila, yeah, fine. You know, no. Let's get rid of that. And Kiddush HaChodesh. You're still good though, right? I mean, come on. 613 mitzvahs in Dora. 613 minus 3. You got still 610. That's pretty legit, right? You shouldn't be so offended. So at the end of the day, how much did those mitzvos, or lack of being able to perform them, actually affect us? If one is doing, anybody here doing accounting or something like that? I don't know. 610 is still a lot. Still seems like a very good amount of mitzvos that we could be able to perform. So what's the whole fuss? So the Chashmonaim said, you know what? A Judaism, a religion that I cannot be in Eved Hashem to the fullest, where I can't maximize my Avodas Hashem, that's not Judaism which I'm interested in. And therefore I'm going to fight for my ability to be the best Eved Hashem I could possibly be. That was their perspective, that was their motivation, that's why they started the war in the first place. They didn't need to. They could have easily said, this is inconvenient. I mean, come on, here are the Greeks. They're much stronger than we are. And look at Sacha Kol. We still got a lot of mitzvahs. We're still good. We're fine. No, that wasn't good enough for them. They decided to go to war. They decided to fight in order so that they could be the best Ovdei Hashem they could possibly be. That's why they started the Melchama. And therefore, now we can understand what happened when they got finally to the Beis Hamikdash after this great miracle. What ended up happening? They needed to light the Chanukah candles. They needed to light the menorah. And they said to themselves, okay, let's light the menorah. And they're looking like, well, we got to find oil. So I try to find like the pure olive oil. That's what we're supposed to be lighting with. Okay, good. So we're searching around. We're searching. No, this one's not good. This one's broken. This one's tar. This one's tummy. Oh, okay, let's give up. Why don't they give up? The reason why they give up is because if we started this war in order not to rely on kulas, if we started this war because we wanted to be lichatchila Jews, so then how could we go ahead and now go into the Beis HaMikdash and start in a b'diavad way? How could we start this with the kula of Tum Mitzvah Mitzvah War? Yes, certain times, it could be in history, we need to rely on this, but that's not how we started this war. That was not what we're interested in doing. That goes against the philosophy of why we started it. And therefore, they search for that pure olive oil. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? Oh my goodness. Because you put yourselves on the line, because you so desired to go ahead and have that pure olive oil, I will reciprocate that desire to be maximalist Jews, to be lichatzila Jews, by allowing those candles to last for 8 days until you get pure olive oil. I'm going to allow it to happen. And therefore, the reason why we focus so much on the miracle of the Pach Shemen is because it beautifully highlights and encapsulates the reason why we went to war in the first place. If we just would have a Suda and Suf Gadiot, it would be delicious and maybe not so good in terms of how we'd be feeling. But it wouldn't highlight the fact that the reason why we went to war in the first place is because we want to be Lechatchila Jews. It wouldn't highlight that for us. And therefore, we specifically focus on the nes of the milcha, of the Pach Shemen. Because when we focus on the nes of the Pach Shemen, that shows us that the reason why we're having this holiday in the first place is because people were not willing to say, they weren't willing to be chafif about their avodas Hashem. They weren't willing to say that this is not for me, or this is good enough. No, we need to be lechatchila Jews. We need to try our best in order to maximize our religious potential, to be the best Ovdei Hashem we could possibly become. And that's why we focus so much on the Nes of the Pach Shemen. And I think with these two ideas, maybe we could go back to the beginning of what we're talking about. Remember we asked the question, what's going on with the ladder? Yaakov has this dream. And the Malachim are going up and the Malachim are going down. And Yaakov makes this bizarre neder to Hashem that he's only going to accept Hashem as his God if he helps him out on this very difficult task of going to Laban's household. Many of the Mefarshim explain that you know what the Malachim going up and going down is? It is there in order to tell us about Hashkacha Pratis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up there in Shemayim, and what is he doing? He's sending Malachim down, who are Malachim, his messengers, in order to help us out in this world. That's Hashkacha Pratis that Yaakov is experiencing. And what Hashem is telling you is, I'm going to help you on the derech in which you're walking. How? Because I'm sending down Malachim to help you. I'm going to be involved in your life. And therefore, I think with this perspective, we can have a new understanding of what Yaakov is saying. Yaakov is not saying at all that making a deal, whether he's testing God to see whether he's worthy of being his own God. But Yaakov is making a statement of fact about himself. The neder is for him, not for Hashem. What is he saying? He said, I'm going to make the following neder. The fact that I realize that Hashem's involved in my life, then that's going to obligate me to recognize that in my own life. Meaning that even the smallest things, the beged, lebosh, the lechem, the achol, the smallest things in my life, I need to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to me. I need to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me something. And therefore, what am I going to do? I need to pass it forward. Aser, aser, nalech. I'll give, that obligates me to do something. That obligates me to be involved in passing forward the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And I think this is also maybe connected to what we're talking about on Hanukkah. What happened on Hanukkah? We started this war. We started this war because we wanted to be lechatchila Jews. Yaakov says, I'm going to give Maaser, I'm going to do mitzvos. What are we doing? We're sending as if our own Malachim going back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him something. What does Hashem do? He sends Malachim back down to us. What is that? It's a nes of the Pach Shemen. That's the love that's in the Shiki Yisera that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants every single one of us to have. And therefore, I think these two ideas of being lechatchila Jews and Hashem reciprocating with His love for us gives us new insight into what the Malachim are doing. We're sending things up to Hashem because we want to be close to Him. We're trying to climb that ladder to get closer to Him. And if we're going to do so, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower us with the love and the protection that we all so much desire. So I give us all a tremendous bracha as this Hanukkah is coming, and for all our entire lives, that it's hard. It's hard being out of it's being hard being out of yeshiva or seminary. That's why I never left. but part of the challenges are trying to live a lechatchila life when we're put in sometimes b'diavad situations. And it's, I think, Hanukkah is a great opportunity for us to say to ourselves, you know what? A, as long as we're trying our best, even if the odds are stacked against us, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there for us. He's going to help us. We're no different than the Chashmonaim. We don't have to compromise on anything. We have to compromise on our own religious values or ideals. And if we're able to go ahead and dedicate ourselves the way the Chashmonaim are, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us down in the Shiki Yisera. He'll give us a kiss. Well, so thank you to us in order to that we're able to go ahead and be close to him as possible. So thank you so much for learning with us tonight.